Topham, here we are at the Veterans Memorial Museum.
Yes, it's always glad to have you visit us.
Tell us about the primary mission of the museum, where it's located and how it operates.
The Veterans Memorial Museum has actually been here for about 23 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's at the back of the Veterans Memorial Building on Grand Avenue in San Luis Obispo, right behind the tank. So,
right near Cal Poly.
Exactly, yes. We enjoy being here. We've got lots of parking and we're always free.
The history of the Veterans Memorial Building, after World War II, there were buildings like this all over the country that rose up.
There were, and this one was built in 1950. It was originally administered by a representative from each of the military groups. There was a lot right after World War II, particularly. That lasted until they all got too old. And then things started fading, and eventually the only way to keep the thing operating was to have the county take it over. Mm-hmm. And they did that, and it's evolved from that.
It's a multi-purpose now.
Yes, it's an expensive building to maintain, and so the county started renting it out. Mm-hmm. Up above in the main floor there. And while veterans get preference, why, anybody can rent. Mm-hmm. Space there now.
So talk to us a moment about your museum that you have here downstairs.
Well, the mission down here is to honor and remember veterans and to educate the public about all that veterans have sacrificed in their name and for their benefit. Mm-hmm. And we specialize in Central Coast veterans, but we tell the stories of the various conflicts and individuals, groups, all kinds of stuff. We've got a lot of unique and rare artifacts, too.
Going way back, World War I.
Yes, indeed, we do. Just because of space, we do World War I through the present. If I ever had more space, I'd expand on that, but we are limited there.
What are some of the must-see objects that you have here that you're most proud of?
Well, of course, my most recent acquisition that falls in that category is a piece of the USS Arizona superstructure. Mm-hmm. And I went through a special program with the Department of Defense, the Department of the Navy, obtained permission to have a piece of the USS Arizona superstructure. And that's on display with our Pearl Harbor display. I mean, that's a precious relic, and we're very proud of having that. I've got a lot of things. When we were putting together an expansion of the Vietnam display, for example, a friend of mine had made friends while visiting Vietnam more recently, going back, you know, these memory trips, and he had made a friend back there. So when I was looking for some POW relics, he contacted this friend, and he actually got items that were used in a POW camp, a bowl, a cup, a soup spoon, that were actually used in the camps. He got those for us and sent them to us. Wouldn't take any money for it. So we have some original items like that. During World War II, there was a POW camp out of Camp San Luis. I think it was mostly Italians and some Germans. Almost an honor camp. And they had a school there for all the prisoners. And there was a gentleman by the name of Kelly that was one of the instructors. He had been in World War I, and his son, Alec Kelly, was a very well-noted pilot in Vietnam. In any case, at the end of World War II, one of the Italian prisoners, before leaving, gave him, as a present, this model plane that he had carved out of oak, no less. And it was an exact replica of the Italian jet prototype. Never gone into production, and in fact, used a whole different engine setup than the Germans had. So this was a unique thing. How did he know? Nobody knew the whole background of this thing, but we have that on display too.
The myth and legend of especially the Italians at the POW camp at Camp San Luis Obispo was when Thanksgiving and Christmas would happen, Swiss Italians and whatnot would come out to the base and take them home for dinners.
There were POWs that actually got passes to go help in town to do things, and it was the same kind of thing. I think there was a lot of Italians, particularly, that hated leaving. Yeah, there's a whole story there. We also are increasing our displays and our information on all the various camps on the Central Coast. There's a wonderful history of military history, military camps, military individuals all along the Central Coast. There was Camp Atascadero, Camp San Luis, Camp Roberts, Camp...
Cook.
Camp Cook, thank you, and more. Hunter Liggett. I mean, we could go on and on. And we're presenting more and more information on that as we collect it. There was a lot of interesting things that a lot of people don't know about. A lot of people don't know that there was an all-black artillery unit, the Coastal Artillery Unit, that was stationed here during World War II. There was a lot of things like this that have occurred over the years. There was a lot of celebrities that trained at Camp San Luis or Camp Roberts. Mm-hmm. We have information on a lot of those folks. You'll see some of that if you come to our open house on Veterans Day, which is going to be terrific, by the way.
What time is it on Veterans Day?
Well, the ceremony starts at 10 a.m., and we have retired Lieutenant Commander John Krause coming out from Washington, D.C. He started his military life as a radio operator on a submarine, eventually became an officer, got involved mostly in communications and intelligence work related to communications. During 9/11, he was one of two senior communications officers attached to the president in the White House. He worked for two different presidents in the White House as a senior communications officer, both Bush and Clinton. He's got some terrific stories.
What does he do now?
He's kind of semi-retired. He still does part-time consulting to Congress right now, the House of Representatives, on security and intelligence issues.
So he's going to give a speech here?
He's going to talk about the meaning of Veterans Day and throw a few things in about his background, and it'll be really fascinating. In addition to that, we're going to honor a veteran from each of the eras, starting with 105-year-old James Murphy, 104 years old, and Harry was a pilot. He flew the Hump. He flew with the Flying Tigers.
Wow.
He's an incredible guy, and he's still sharp as a tack. Mr. Murphy, unfortunately, can't come because of his health just recently has gotten a little bit worse. But all three of his sons are going to come, and we're going to honor him. They're going to represent him. And we've got veterans from Vietnam and Korea and post 9/11 and the Cold War. So that's going to be really neat. We're going to have the county band, the county whitecaps. We're going to have a bunch of military vehicles. We're going to have games for the kids, a bounce house, bean toss, a coloring table, game table. We're going to have a free barbecue lunch. First come, first serve. So you want to get here and see everything. So we're going to have a lot of things going on. Plus, we are honoring the Navy and the Marines in their 250th birthday with a special display, kind of a timeline of the history of both services, in addition to new displays that we're putting up. It's going to be really neat.
Back to your displays, one of my heroes was Rigetti, who was Army Air Corps, World War II.
Yeah, Elwin, you're probably
Yeah, who
thinking.
Grew up here. A moment about Elwin.
Elwin was a fighter pilot. He had a very distinguished career. In fact, just before he was due to rotate out because of the number of missions he had flown, combat missions, they were doing a strafing run on a airfield, a German airfield, just right next to the Elbe, right on the border of the Russian-American dividing line, which was the Elbe along this area. And his plane was hit, and he was injured. He had to make a landing. And the last thing they heard from him, there's a couple of guys that did the normal thing to circle, make sure he was okay. He got out and said, hey, I'm okay. I'll see you guys shortly. It'd be fine. And nobody's ever seen him, never found out anything about him, never even found the plane. So that's still a mystery. We surmise, since it was right next to the Russian area, and we think he had to land on that Russian side.
San Luis High graduate.
Yes, San Luis High graduate. His brother was a bomber pilot, flew in Europe as well, and survived the war. So both of them have very distinguished careers. We have a lot of stories like that. We have stories with people who served in World War I. We've got stories of female veterans, a few of whom were docents here later on, that have done some really impressive things. So there are so many neat stories to tell. You can spend anywhere from half an hour to 3 or 4 hours here just learning about people, the places, the events.
Talk to us a moment about your presentations when you have people come here and talk, because that's really cool.
Yes, that's another one of the educational things we love to do. We bring in authors and historians. Recently, we had a retired lieutenant commander who was a P-3 pilot whose specialty was hunting Russian subs during the Cold War, knowing where they were and what they were doing. And he was really good at that. We've brought in a lot of really impressive historians and authors, people that have written well-known books. We do a lot of things like that. We also have special events where we celebrate veterans from different eras and invite them to come in and spend some time with us and be honored, or just share stories with each other, meet each other, which a lot of them just love doing. We do a lot of events like that, as much as we have the time for. We're all volunteer, we're free. That keeps us really busy, but we enjoy doing that. You know, no story about the museum would be complete if I didn't mention that we are the only place in this part of the state that works with the Library of Congress on the Veterans History Project. And we love to bring in veterans, no matter when they served, no matter what branch, no matter what they did, we want their stories. And when they come in and tell us their story, they get a copy of that. We keep a copy in case they need more later on. And we send a copy to the Library of Congress. And it goes on permanent file, becomes a part of the fabric of our country at the Smithsonian.
To learn more about the Veterans Museum,
go to vetmuseum.org and you'll be able to learn a lot. You'll have some good links and come see us.
Bart Topham, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure and honor. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Veterans Museum on Grand Avenue in San Luis Obispo, California.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.